I'm Christian Morsink. For one reason or the other, my wife twisted my arm and said that you should volunteer for something to do. And I was asked to moderate this panel. And so I am here. I'm from the University of Pennsylvania, where I do a little bit of adjunct work in the Center for Public Health Initiatives. Today we're going to talk about the academic community partnerships. Big issue in many schools and in many places, not only in public health, but in many other varieties on the campuses in different settings. We have five speakers and one speaker who wants to do a song. It's going to be a little bit of an issue.
No,
I'm not saying what you're doing, how you're doing it. Just bring it up. To get this all going and having some time at the end for Q&A, I am asking everybody to keep it as short as possible, right around 12 minutes. We have given 15, but there's no Q&A at the end. So I'm going to holler and shout when it is around 11 minutes in. And we're going to start with Sang Leng Tru, who is going to talk about using community-based participatory research, as you can see there. She is a visiting assistant professor in the Department of Asian American Studies at the University of California, Irvine, and a researcher at the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. Sang holds a doctorate in public health and conducts research on sexual and reproductive health issues. That's where it stops. I'm not supposed to say anything more.
That's fine.
It's your having the floor, lady. Okay. No, I was told one by one, right?
Yes.
One by one. So I will be coming back and doing my show and tell.
I'm having a little bit of trouble moving around today. I ran the marathon yesterday. And so at mile 22, I was like, it doesn't look good. I have a poster and an oral to do today. And I thought, oh my goodness. And so I actually made it here this morning quite early. But anyway, I wanted to start my presentation with actually a song because it's part of the program that that I'm going to share today, but also because it's 4:30 in the afternoon, so I thought, you know, so we'll do that. So hopefully it plays. And it's not me singing, so, you know. I'll play for about 40 seconds or so. Anyway, I just wanted to start with that, and then let me get over to my presentation because it is a product of something that we did. Okay, so I'm going to share with you a model of a campus community partnership that we have been working on for the last 6 to 7 years in California. It is funded by the California Wellness Foundations. For those of you who are from California, are very familiar with CCWF. And as a disclosure, we have no relationship to disclose, and my other two colleagues are not here today. So. So I'm going to just talk about the program that we've been having throughout California college campuses, and then talk about the community-based participatory research process, the CBPR, and then also offer some recommendations for people who are interested in having a campus community partnership. The program itself is actually brought together by the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. This organization is actually based in New York. It was formed a year after the 1995 Women's Conference in Beijing. We had about 150 or so Asian Pacific American women attend the conference. And so when they were there in Beijing, they thought, you know, here we are, you know, halfway around the world, and we don't And here we, you know, and here we are talking about Asian American issues, and we have to do it, you know, halfway around the world. So a year after they returned from the conference, they actually came together and created this organization called NAPOF, and it's really the only national multi-issue API women's organization in the country. It's a social justice human rights organization, and they have different platform issues ranging from immigrant rights to women's health to reproductive justice. And the reproductive justice platform is the one that I'm going to be talking about today, which is our program. So the need for this research, the way this came about was because we've noticed in the literature as well as in funding that Asian Pacific Islander, or APIs from this point on, is really underfunded as well as underrepresented in the literature. This federal health research, does this move? Okay, good. The federal health research grants, this is a little bit outdated, but we haven't seen any recent data. Only 0.2% of federal grants go to API women's community, and then even a little bit more for the top of those foundations. But in terms of the sexual health research, we found that only about 2% of articles in the literature are dedicated to API, and so it's a little bit better than the funding that comes in, but it's still really underrepresented for this population. So the program is called CYWC, which stands for California Young Women's Collaborative. There are a number of objectives to the project, primarily to conduct research on college campuses, specifically on reproductive sexual health. It's a chance for students to educate the community on their issues and to really build on leadership development among the students. So the way the program works is that we were able to get funding about 7 years ago, and it's been traveling around the state of California. For those of you who are familiar with the university tier, we have the community colleges, the California State University system, the CSU, and then also the UC system, the University of California system. The program started back in 2006 at UC Davis and San Francisco State. It was concurrent projects, and then it moved on to UC Berkeley. And when the program was here in the three Northern California schools, it was really considered a 199 project. So the program was offered, as special projects, under a faculty mentor, and students were able to be recruited and sign up using, getting 199 credit, which are like special projects research units. Since then, the program then moved down to Southern California, and I'll talk about specifically the program at Cal State Fullerton, and then the one we're currently in right now at University of California, Irvine. When the program did move down to Southern California, we were able to formalize the program a little bit. It was no longer offered as a 199, but actually adopted as a class by the Asian American Studies Department. We felt that that was probably the best place to house a program like this because, with the budget cuts at CSU and UC campuses, they're really looking for any kind of innovative strategies to offer more classes. And so we thought, okay, well, here's a program that we have ready to go with a curriculum as well as faculty. So I serve as a faculty. Please house us for 1 year and see if your students like the program. And so that's sort of what the program has been like. We've been traveling throughout the campuses. And so at Fullerton, it was actually the first time that it was became a regular class. We haven't been able to get it approved as a GE class just yet because you have to go through this whole curriculum review. But so far, we've had it that year. And then last year, we moved to UC Irvine, which is also in Southern California, Orange County. And the interesting thing about that is that the Asian American Studies Department actually created a visiting assistant professorship status for me just to host me and to host the class for 1 year, and now we're actually in our second year because it's been so successful. And so this is an example of how campus community partnership can really work where, being part of NAPOF, we're really a nonprofit organization, but we're able to bring in a academic curriculum into a university and be able to, infuse it. And because it's actually a regular class, for undergraduate students, we were able to get the class cross-listed through multiple departments, so program and public health, policy planning and development. And so with that, we're able to attract, I think, much broader students rather than just primarily the Asian American Studies or public health students. Let me just go on to about the Fullerton cohort, which is what the main, most of the slides for this presentation is on. But before I do that, I want to share with you some of the benefits of the campus community partnerships that have emerged as a result of these partnerships with the different CSUs and UC schools. Being on these college campuses really offer a lot for us as in a nonprofit organization. We're able to really get research expertise from other faculty members in the different departments that we've been able to partner with. Having a class, on social justice, really we're able to utilize theory-based learning. we're also able to get a lot of institutional support. So all of the research studies, and I'll talk about this in a second, actually are able to go through IRB process with a faculty sponsor. So the kind of research that we're able to do is, you know, human subjects approved. It's also a great way to access young adults, have access to young adults. I know it's sometimes it's difficult for community-based programs to be able to do that, and we're able to do that through creating basically a workforce pipeline. And then, of course, having funding and resources. The university actually doesn't put in any type of dollars, but they do put in other in-kind funding, for example, space, you know, administrative support through the department, and just being able to be housed at the university provides us with a lot of credibility. And then as a community organization, NAPOF, we were able to bring in relevant community issues, particularly reproductive justice issues to campus, which is something that it's really hard to do unless, you know, they have a really progressive like student health center or women's health center. We're also able to bring in some of the community exposure and support. And the way NAPOF is organized is that we have a core staff based in D.C., New York, but throughout the country we have 12 chapters that are made up of NAPOF members, and so we're able to utilize community members throughout the country for, you know, as resources. And then as a nonprofit organization, we're able to really do service learning for the students, so that way they're able to have hands-on applied social activism types of learning. And then, of course, we bring in the funding. So the nonprofit organization that I'm with, we actually fund everything from the research to the social action projects. And so it's a really win-win for the campus as well as our organization. So the way the class worked, when it was at the Northern California campuses, there were actually 2-year projects, but because they're now at university, you know, now they're university credited courses, it's become a 1-year project, and fall quarter or fall semester is really dedicated to the didactics of the process. So we go over research methods, students are able to come up with, you know, issues and questions of their interest. And from that point on, that's how we are able to utilize the CBPR process to help students, you know, select, you know, research topics that are of interest to them. And so the year that we were at Cal State Fullerton, the students decided to look at Pap screening and knowledge as well as other reproductive health issues. And that was something that we were able to work with the student health center on campus. And so I want to share a couple of findings from that and how the findings were then used to basically do social activism on campus. That's a picture with Congresswoman Mike Honda there having a drink, but the student there is overage. So the study that we were able to do that year on reproductive sexual health, specifically looking at Pap screening education, was a sample size of 618. It was actually a larger sample size, but we only teased out those students who were sexually active. And the only thing that I want to point on this slide is that we did find a 22% uninsured rate. And that year, 2009, California had about 1 in 6. And so, oh my goodness, okay, 2 minutes. We were able to utilize that finding to really support passage of healthcare reform efforts. And so students were able to say, look, you know, we really want to support healthcare reform. And so on our campus, we found, you know, we have much higher uninsured rates than, say, the average, not necessarily the average young adult, because they tend to have higher rates anyway, but really, you know, the average California. Let me move on and skip over to social action. So the second semester of each program, each year, or quarter, they're able to focus on what we call social action campaigns, where they use the research findings that they've collected earlier in the year to basically figure out how they want to disseminate the findings by way of, you know, putting on campaigns either on campus or in the community. And at the Student Health Center there, we were able to help, you know, the Student Health Center figure out how best to address issues of lower Pap screening among Asian Pacific Islander students and really address some of the cultural barriers to that. The students also did a radio program on campus to promote their findings. And here is a picture of one of the rallies to support healthcare reform to encourage back where our Orange County is, Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez to approve or to support healthcare reform, because I think it was a week before the House vote she was still, you know, on limbo and on deciding you know, what to do with that. And I think I have like 30 seconds left. One of the things that came out of the program was actually students were able to write up their findings and submit findings in a peer review. In a manuscript submitted to a peer-reviewed journal, they were actually able to get theirs accepted last year. So it took about another additional year outside of classwork for them to be able to do that. But it was something that came out of the program, was really contributing to the literature and the community. And I am done because my time is out. That was the lyrics to the song. So thank you.
Thank you.